Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to go right to this article. CBN's talking about how human shields are being used, and you're going to hear Prime Minister Bibi talk about it with Israel on Fox News, but also you're going to see him speak to the United Nations and just like, you know, back off. I mean, This is what any nation would do. But understand this. You're going to see this. I want you to watch closely in this because you're going to see a rocket launcher. And look behind the rocket launcher. You're going to see these children being gathered there behind this rocket launcher. And they actually are huddling those children there. Why? Because they're hoping once they launch that rocket that Israel will strike that rocket launcher and those kids will die. That's what Hamas thinks about the Palestinian people. If we care about the Palestinian people, we need to stand up for Israel because they're the ones that are protecting them. As a matter of fact, watch.
The IDF says it's destroyed more than 20 terror tunnels and killed nearly 200 Hamas terrorists since the start of its ground operation. Four Israeli soldiers died in this confrontation with Hamas infiltrators inside Israel's border. In the firefight, IDF troops killed most of the infiltrators. They entered Israel disguised as IDF soldiers and wore suicide belts.
Here on the Israeli-Gaza border, you can see the plumes of smoke coming from the fighting within Gaza City. The IDF has called up 60,000 troops for Operation Protective Edge. About 30 have died in the line of battle, and they find themselves fighting an enemy that uses the same tactics as Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the Taliban in Afghanistan.
They use human shields. They attempt to lure us to kill their civilian population. It's a common theme among Islamist extremist groups in this world.
Colonel Richard Kemp commanded British ground troops in Afghanistan. He refutes the claim that Israel has committed war crimes.
Everything I've seen would suggest to me that Israel is not committing a war crime. Far from it, Israel is going further than most other countries in this world would go to prevent the loss of innocent civilian life. The people that are committing the war crimes are Hamas, who are both firing rockets into the Israeli civilian population indiscriminately and also using their own people as human shields. That is a war crime. Hamas want the Israeli Defense Force to kill their children, their women, their civilians. That's what they want to happen. They want to get the propaganda.
Former IDF spokesperson Avital Leibovich says Hamas deliberately put Palestinian civilians in harm's way during the intense fighting in Sajaya.
We are trying to do everything we can in order to make sure that the civilians are evacuating the area. However, Hamas, as we've seen in this operation time and time again, through the Ministry of Interior, is forbidding those civilians, those poor civilians, and it's really tragic. He's forbidding them from leaving those areas, and then we find ourselves in very, very tough situations.
On the diplomatic front, UN Secretary Ban Ki-moon and U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry are in the region trying to broker a ceasefire. During a visit to the front lines, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said they would expand their operation to bring quiet to Israel and a stop to Hamas rocket fire. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, on the Israeli-Gaza border.
I want you to see this picture. You're going to see this picture right now of that rocket launcher you just saw, but you got to focus on it. Now, this is the young man to the left. He's the one that put a missile down in that rocket launcher. Now, look behind. You see that man back there, the bearded man with the gray hair? He's gathering those children together like cattle, and they're looking. Look at them. They're looking at what's going on, not realizing that these guys want those kids to die. These men want those kids to die.
Wow.
But think about it. These men, Hamas, we just wrote a $40 million check just this week.
Wow.
Our president wrote a $40 million check to send it. Israel's providing humanitarian aid to the hilt. And look at that. I want you to look carefully at that picture right here. You're watching on your TV screens. You're looking at it. That man just dropped a missile there to your left into that rocket launcher. And what they're wanting to do. And you see that brick leaning up against that rocket launcher right there that just got set up. You see the man, the video, you can see this, but I wanted a still shot so you could see. He's holding those kids together over there. So when this rocket launcher lands, when Israel deals with this rocket launcher, they're hoping that those kids will be killed and they could take their bodies and parade them through the streets. Mm-hmm. So CNN and MSNBC and all these organizations who got a wrong perspective will sit there and say, oh, the pain. It's like you put your kid there. You let that people put him. And this is what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it's called human shields, what he just talked about. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talking with Brett Baer on Fox News about this very specific thing. Watch this.
People heavily invested in the outcome of the events playing out in Gaza now. One, a leader of a nation, and another who is in constant contact with Hamas inside Gaza. I began by asking Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu if there was any hope for a ceasefire.
Well, of course there's a hope for that, but, you know, in the Middle East it takes two to tango, sometimes three, maybe four. I think there's an Egyptian initiative for a ceasefire. We accepted it. Hamas rejected it. As we accepted the ceasefire proposed by the UN for humanitarian purposes, they rejected it. We accepted a Red Cross ceasefire for humanitarian purposes. Hamas rejected that too. So the hope is there. I don't know if it'll happen. The point is that there's one side that is clearly bent on escalation and one side that is Israel that is bent on defending its people as any country would under similar circumstances.
The administration has said that you obviously have the right to defend yourself. They have noted and been concerned about the rising casualties. Let me get your reaction to Secretary Kerry over the weekend in this conversation about your operation. Take a listen.
It's a hell of a pinpoint operation. It's a hell of a pinpoint operation.
Right. It's escalating really, significantly, and it just underscores the need for ceasefire.
We've got to get over there.
Yep.
Thank you, John. I think, John, we ought to go tonight. I think it's crazy to be sitting around.
What do you think about that, Prime Minister?
No, I don't want to deal with off-the-cuff remarks. I'll tell you what my experiences have been. I've been in war. I've been in battle. And when you take a surgical operation, you can't guarantee when your soldiers are being fired from Hamas homes, that is, Hamas is targeting people from private homes, and you hit them back, of course some people are going to be hurt. That's totally different from deliberately targeting them. And you know what? The forces that went into Sajaya, this place, where there are tunnels in homes, we have to clear out the homes. Hamas puts civilians, Palestinian civilians there. We go out to ferret out rocketeers and anti-tank rocket fire. Hamas put civilians there. We asked these civilians before we went in, we said, please leave. We text them, we call them on cell phones, we drop leaflets, we told them where to go. And those who left were safe. Now those who didn't leave, you know why they didn't leave? Because Hamas told them to be there. Because Hamas, while we try to avoid Palestinian civilian dead, Hamas wants Palestinian civilian dead. The more the better. So he can give you telegenic fodder. So this is the cruelest, most grotesque war that I've ever seen. I mean, not only does Hamas target civilians, ours, and hides behind their civilians, theirs, it actually wants to pile up as many civilian deaths as possible.
Do you worry, Mr. Prime Minister, that Americans watching the Israeli-Palestinian conflict unfold in U.S. media outlets get a distorted picture of the reality?
Yeah, of course, because they only see the last reel of the movie. They don't see the part that comes before, where Hamas is embedding itself in civilians, hiding behind them, firing on us, hoping that they'll either be immune or that when we do attack the rocketeers and their fighters, that civilian deaths are caused because they want them to be caused. I think, in general, the American public, and I say this to its credit, understands this. These are people who don't care about life. The only thing is they are using cynically their own people as propaganda fodder. And I think Americans largely get it. They know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. I don't think it's particularly true of the United States, but there are some in the West who tell us, we support Israel's right to exist, a right to defend itself, as long as you don't exercise that right. Well, what else could we do? What would you do if 80% of your people were in bomb shelter? Imagine Imagine 240, 50 million Americans in bomb shelters. They have to get into a bomb shelter within 60 seconds, 60 to 90 seconds. You try to pinpoint the rocketeers, and you have some civilian deaths. Would Americans understand this? Of course they understand.
So when you hear people, Mr.
They understand who the good guys are and who the bad guys. Israel is the good guy, and Hamas is the bad guy.
When you hear people call for restraint, when you hear people saying the civilian casualties are unacceptable, when you hear people saying this is enough, what do you say?
I say forward that to the one address that's responsible for all this, and that's Hamas. Who wants civilian casualties? Who wants to accelerate and escalate? We're forced to do it. What would you do? What would anybody do? You know, you just have to put yourself in Israel's place, and if you're a leader, put yourself in my place. And ask a simple question, what would you do? If you look at the historical antecedents, I think the answer is very clear. Israel is acting with great restraint because there's no other country that's been rocketed like this with thousands of rockets. We've just had close to 2,000 rockets and mortars in the last few days on just about every one of our cities. Well, the only parallel, historical parallel, is Britain rocketed by the Nazis in World War II. I don't, you know, if we start drawing parallels, what Britain did compared to what we do, we've been showing a hell of a lot of restraint. So if there's any complaints, and there should be, about civilian deaths, they belong, the responsibility and the blame belongs in one place, Hamas. I don't think anyone should get that wrong.
Last thing very quickly, sir. At the same time, there is this six-week extension of the negotiations with Iran, with the P5 plus one. Do you worry about that? What is your reaction to that without sanctions on Iran?
Look, I think no deal is better than a bad deal. So if they didn't make a deal, that's good. But if the extension gives them more money and actually eases the sanctions regime, that's bad. Iran wants a different deal. It wants to say, I keep everything. I just put it under lock and key. And I'll put an inspector there. But that inspector could be kicked out at any time. They break the padlock and they have the nuclear bomb within weeks, the material for a nuclear bomb within weeks. That's a bad deal. I think that should not be allowed. And if it's necessary to ratchet up the pressure, that's what should be done. Certainly don't soften it.
Prime Minister Netanyahu, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You're looking at Gog. When you hear Iran and Russia, you're hearing Gog and Magog. Mm-hmm. This is Gog and Magog working together through this Hamas to pressure Israel to get nuclear weapons. I mean, this is amazing. But thank God for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We get back, you're going to find out when the UN shows up to be able to try to force Israel to talk with somebody who says their own papers, their corporation, what do you call their papers?
Charters.
Their charter, well, their seventh line in their charter says Israel shall not exist. You shall kill them or destroy them. You can't have peace with that. But yet, while they know that to be true, they're telling Israel, stop defending yourself. And it makes you think about the voting bloc in the United Nations. He is not trying to please the world. He's trying to please that voting bloc.
Yeah.
That majority voting bloc, which you can find out more about it with the Arab League on the United Nations. More from Israel, the prime minister speaking on behalf of his nation to the United Nations. I want to make a quick correction. The other day we were talking about the jizya, talking about the Islamic tax that's on what they would call an infidel, somebody who's not a Muslim, and speaking to it as if it was the zakat. As the president was actually said, he made a commitment that I'm going to try to get the zakat tax exempt, and it's like 1/6 of the zakat, which is like we would say in the Christian church, we'd say our offerings and our tithes is tax deductible. But the problem with the reason why the zakat is not tax deductible because like 1/6 of it goes to jihad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be making tax exempt war against America. And so they couldn't do that. So just a little correction there to know that that's what we were actually talking about. We called it jizya. That's actually what they are charging Christians now in northern Iraq.
That's right.
Who are not Muslims. United Nations went to Israel to ask Israel to stop and talk with people who in their charter, the Hamas, in their charter, their seventh article says, we want to kill Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We want to kill all the Jews. That's the reason why we're doing these tunnels up under Israel. We want to kill them. And here this grown man talking to this other grown man saying, you need to talk to these folks. But I want you to see this. I want you to see, he's saying, you know, stop stop defending yourself. It's not what he's saying. He says stop the war. All they're doing is taking out all these tunnels and all these launchers so the thousands of missiles won't keep coming over their people. Well, this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response as he's looking at the cameras. As he's coming in the room, he's going to address this issue about saying, hey, let's talk. They've already done that. You just heard that. But listen, I love his response. Listen.
I ask not only for your support, I ask for your moral stance. I ask you to support Israel's right to defend itself and not to sanctify the idea that these brutal terrorists can attack a beleaguered democracy, can rocket our cities, can target millions of our people, can hide among their civilians and get away with it. Because if they can, you're next. And what message does it send to Al-Qaeda, to Boko Haram, to Hezbollah, to ISIS? What does it send? What kind of message does it send? What kind of moral message does it send when Israel is being condemned for doing what any democracy would legitimately do to defend itself? I ask you to stand with Israel because it is right. Because it is our right to defend ourselves. And it is our right to exercise that right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
That is amazing. That is, they're just saying, we're going to defend ourselves.
That's
you
right.
Defend yourself. You know, what kind of moral question are you bringing to us to negotiate with people who want to see our death?
It's shameful to suggest
yes.
anything otherwise.
But if you understand how the United Nations now is made up, there is a voting bloc. There's a majority set up of Muslim nations, nations that are friendly towards this aspect, and other nations who aren't Muslim, but they're more kind of a mixture of like Cuba and other ones that would mm-hmm. just say, hey, we're in this thing. And so they can pretty much trump any decision made. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing this representative from the United Nations. Now you're realizing they're not representing the world. They're not mm-hmm. representing the nations. They're representing that voting bloc.
Exactly.
Because they sent them there to tell in their face, when this grown man knows that you're telling Israel to die, you know, be destroyed. Yeah. The second they stop fighting is the second they're gone mm-hmm. and they're not going to stop. And it's very encouraging to see that they're just standing up and yeah. speaking truth to the United Nations. And we just heard the prime minister or the ambassador, Israeli ambassador to America just yesterday. We apologize for any of that not good video footage right there. But he said it's time for the UN to find a moral compass and it's time for the world to find a moral backbone.
Right.
And he just said, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just said, you know, that what kind of moral response would that be? Are we sending to these terrorists?
Yeah. None.
Yes.
when we ignore them and we pacify them, and I'm talking about the world and UN, then we're giving them legitimacy and we're saying that it's okay to continue to do that. And, you know, when good is being called evil and evil is being called good right in your face, you'd be greatly concerned.
Yeah, don't
greatly
worry about popularity
concerned.
At that yeah. point. Just get on the right side.
That's it. Stand.
Get on the right side, even though it may cost you everything, including your life. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.